In the wake of a federal investigation of college basketball, the University of Louisville and its fans have been in shock for the past few weeks. Just this week, one of the most well-known and accomplished coaches, Rick Pitino, has been fired. After a 20-year career, athletic director Tom Jurich has also lost his job. Some of us are wondering what's going on and what's next in the midst of this scandal, and why do so many people care about college students playing a game as amateurs?
You know, they matter to people. These games matter, and that goes into culture and a lot of other stuff. And then there's an economic reason, which is these universities and programs generate an unbelievable amount of revenue. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
On this week's Eastern Standard, we'll try to understand what's going on as we discuss the scandal in college sports. Send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com or a tweet at wekuest. In a few minutes, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard after the news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsburg, and thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. We've been hearing a lot about sports, about college athletics, about the University of Louisville during the past couple of weeks, and there's been a lot of activity just this week. Coach Rick Pitino lost his job officially. Athletic director Tom Jurich was fired officially yesterday on Wednesday. And from what we understand, there's a lot more going on regarding this federal investigation of college sports. And there may be things, other revelations coming along in the future. And we're going to ask some guests this morning to help us understand what is happening. And we're going to ask for your opinion during the program. Eastern Standard is an interactive show, and we're glad to have your questions, your comments, your personal stories at wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at wekuest or give us a call at 800-621-8890. We're going to welcome to the studio, first up, a guest from the Lexington Herald Leader, sports columnist John Clay. And John has been with the Herald Leader since 1981, at least the columnist, since 2000, and been with the Herald Leader since 81, originally from Central Kentucky, graduate of the University of Kentucky. John Clay, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We're grateful to meet you in person, and we're going to get your opinion, which is, I know what you express that how often a week? One or two times a week?
Well, I'm in the paper usually three to four times a week, sometimes more, and then online more than that at Kentucky.com, but
on,
yes.
On the sports page, probably one of the more read columnists in the paper.
Well, there, the one thing about living and writing in this area, there's always something to write about because people are pretty passionate about sports around here.
Absolutely. Joe Sonka is with us on the line. Joe is staff writer at Insider Louisville, focusing on government, politics, education, and public safety, former news editor and staff writer at Leo Weekly, and also freelance for The Nation and Think Progress. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Joe, tell me a little bit about what, you know, we say you're writing about government, politics, education, and public safety. Is sports often something that you touch base on?
Well, sports usually isn't, but I cover the University of Louisville, the administration, and kind of institutional issues, but so normally I wouldn't, but in the past two or three years has been very unique ever since the escort scandal first broke with the basketball team, and certainly the past 3 weeks with the federal investigation.
All right, I'm sure you're busy, and we're going to be interested in hearing about what you are discovering and your insights about the current situation. We also invited to be with us today Matt Jones, a host of Kentucky Sports Radio and KentuckySportsRadio.com. He's also host of Hey Kentucky on local TV. Matt couldn't join us in person. I guess is he live on the radio right now?
I think he's from 10 to 12, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that he's able to do two radio programs at one time. So we spoke with him before the program, and what I want to do is go to Matt. We have a couple of recorded segments. We'll go to him and then come back and pick up where he left off. I'll get to Joe Sonka and John Clay to fill us in the details that Matt does not provide for us. As we invite you again, write to us at wekueasternstandard@gmail.com or call 800-621-8890. But let's start off with a few minutes with Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio and Hey Kentucky. I asked him, what is all of this activity regarding the University of Louisville and college sports about?
Well, there's a lot of different angles. I mean, there are two different issues. One is the problems with college athletics, and there are a lot, some of which are problems in breaking college rules, and some of which are the federal government only cares about the stuff that it says are crimes. And what they care about is our coaches and apparel companies that bribe each other to get kids to sign with agents or financial advisors without giving them all the information. So essentially what they're saying is, if you as a coach or you as a shoe company are trying to sign a player, you have to tell these kids that you're paying off their coaches. If you don't, then that's a federal crime. It's almost like a fiduciary duty in other contexts. And it's really not something I've ever seen in the law before. I mean, I actually think they're stretching the law a little bit. But they're basically saying, if a coach tells a kid, you should sign with this agent, if he doesn't disclose he's being paid to tell them that, then he's committed a federal crime. And so that's why they've arrested these people. Now, people are arguing, some media is acting like the federal government wants to clean up college basketball. I don't think they care about college basketball. What they care about are their state employees at these institutions basically taking money to steer kids to sham advisors. And if that's true, they're saying that's a crime.
Our focus in Kentucky, of course, has been on the University of Louisville. And, of course, the coach and the athletic director have now both been fired by the university. Who's been arrested? I'm not aware of the arrests and what's going on.
Well, no one's been arrested at Louisville. Okay, so the issue at Louisville, Louisville is almost collateral damage for the scandal, because the only reason the Louisville stuff even came to light was Louisville was the only school that they could find where the Adidas director, whose name I think is Gatto, that was the only school they had on tape with Gatto paying money to a player. So that is the only reason that's in there. No Louisville coach was indicted, and I don't think there's even been an allegation that any Louisville coach took money. But they needed to prove their case against Adidas, and they proved their case against Adidas by talking about Louisville. So what's interesting about Louisville is all of the Louisville coaches did not break federal law, but they did break NCAA rules. And so that's why the NCAA scandal that has now led to Jurich and Pitino being fired, it's actually not a federal crime, but it is a violation of NCAA rules.
That's one of the things I was wondering about, the difference between the crime and the NCAA rules.
Well, let me explain I think that's a really good question.
Excellent.
The NCAA prohibits coaches and shoe companies from paying players that are in college.
And not just shoe companies, any companies, right?
Any company from giving money to a kid that's in college. That's a violation of their amateur status. So that breaks NCAA rules, but that in and of itself is not a federal crime. You know, Adidas giving that Louisville player money is not in and of itself a federal crime, but funneling it through the coaches, that's where the government says a crime occurs. Now, I have to tell you, I think that's a pretty weak case the government has, but that's their argument. But the NCAA, all they care about is that the kid got money.
So what consequences do you see for the University of Louisville beyond the current the state and the uproar, the turmoil in their athletic program? Will there be problems with their school moving forward in their basketball program, their football program, and other NCAA athletics?
I think their basketball program is going to have a lot of problems. They were for the scandal where they used prostitutes to entice players to come to Louisville. So they were already on probation. They will violate that probation with this and then get more punishments. I think this is going to really long-term have a crippling effect on Louisville basketball. I think the next few years are going to be very, very difficult for basketball. For the school as a whole, I think they've kind of taken the steps to start to fix that. You know, I mean, the scandals at Louisville go far beyond athletics. There was the missing funds with the foundation after their audit. Their president has resigned. But I do think that university has finally started to clean up the mess. I think there's a new interim president. They fired the athletic director. And I think now they're moving forward. So I don't think there are huge implications long term for the university. But I think the basketball program and the athletic department is going to have some issues. The the basketball program because of the penalties, and then the athletic department because the U of L basketball program funds a lot of the other athletic sports.
Well, Pitino has been a very successful coach, correct? He's had a very stellar record.
Yes,
and
very successful.
Numerous championships, I guess, NCAA championships. So what does this investigation and all of this do to that record? Will it jeopardize that record?
Well, he will lose. The NCAA has already decided to vacate the championship they won at Louisville in 2013, and I would venture to say they will end up vacating the games, more years. So it's going to have an effect on his record, but I think the bigger issue is his legacy. I mean, Rick Pitino is by all accounts, one of the greatest coaches in college basketball history. He is the only coach ever to win a national championship at two different schools. I mean, that's an amazing accomplishment. But now he will forever be tarnished as the coach that oversaw the scandal. So I think that will have, will it have an effect on him as a person? Well, he lost his job. But I think the bigger issue is his legacy, and I think it will tarnish what was otherwise a pretty amazing coaching legacy.
Was Pitino doing anything that is not commonly done by other coaches?
Well, all right, two things. One, Pitino claims he didn't know any of this was happening. And, a lot of people find that implausible, but it is his claim, and as of yet, there's been no direct evidence that he knew. It's really more circumstantial. To the second question, is he doing anything anybody else is not doing? That's the question that I think everyone guesses, but no one knows. I mean, do I think Louisville is the only program that paid players? No, I do not. I think there are a number of others. But did Louisville do it on a different level to be the ones to get coached or to get caught, or did they just get unlucky? I don't know. Probably unlucky. I do not think every program does it, but I do think a bunch do, and I think Louisville just happened to be the one that unfortunately got caught up in an FBI investigation, and they're the ones that got caught.
Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio and Hey Kentucky on this week's Eastern Standard. We also have with us Joe Sonka from Louisville, a former news editor with Leo Weekly. Now he's the staff writer and insider Louisville. And we have John Clay, sports columnist for the Lexington Herald Leader. We're talking about what's going on in college sports. And let me very quickly get Joe Sonka. We're going to take a short break in about a minute. But Joe, any reaction to the comments you just heard from Matt Jones? Any details that we're missing at this point?
No, I think that pretty much covered it. Now we're in terms of the basketball program, we're, of course, waiting to see what the NCAA is going to do. They've already punished the program for the escort scandal. We haven't even gotten to the bribery scandal yet, so we're waiting to see what the NCAA does. And, of course, we're waiting to see what the federal prosecutors in New York do, whether they're going to indict more people, whether there's going to be more information uncovered about what actually happened with the basketball program.
John Clay, are we expecting a normal basketball season? When the NCAA season gets started, around the beginning of the year?
Yeah, it'll be a normal season. It'll have a dark cloud hanging over the season as everybody wonders what's going to happen with this federal investigation.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We have with us John Clay and Joe Sonka. We'll also hear from Matt Jones again on this week's Eastern Standard. We're talking about this whole college sports scandal, and we're interested in your questions, your comments, your personal stories, your opinions, of course. 800-621-8890. Write to us, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. That number again, 800-621-8890. College sports shaken up, I would think, especially in Kentucky, but I assume that this has been an issue across the country. This is Eastern Standard on WEKU, and we're interested in hearing from you. We have guests with us discussing this topic. We have Joe Sonka from Insider Louisville, Matt Jones, recorded in advance, and John Clay, sports columnist for the Lexington Herald Leader. John, how widespread is this issue, this concern? From central Kentucky and, less than 100 miles from Louisville, this seems like a really big deal. But is this an issue in the sports world overall?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the original criminal complaint lodged by the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York, in southern New York, there were four assistant coaches who were actually arrested and charged, one at the University of Auburn, Chuck Person, one at Oklahoma State, one at Southern Cal, and one at Arizona. And Arizona is one of the top powers right now in college basketball. And their longtime assistant named Book Richardson, under head coach Sean Miller, who had been with Sean at Xavier and went with him to Arizona, was one of the four coaches. So, yes, this is very much, and the FBI, when they made the announcement of the criminal complaint, the head FBI investigator said in the press conference, said, this is a message to college basketball. We have your playbook. This is an ongoing investigation. They even set up a tip line for people to call with tips and so forth. So, yes, this very much, there's been reports here in the past week or so that more charges could be coming as soon as in the next couple of weeks. They have subpoenaed more information. It's come out just recently that they subpoenaed information from Louisville, from Rick Pitino. They subpoenaed information from Miami coach Jim Larrañaga that Miami may be looking at involved. So, yes, this is very widespread throughout college basketball.
John and Joe Sanka, help me sort this out. There seem to be so many angles to it. There are the apparel companies,
right?
Adidas, and I understand Nike is a big sponsor or involved in a lot of the school programs. And then we have the issues of somebody, is it the schools, is it the, are these companies, somebody providing funds, providing prostitutes or other benefits or inducements to players or potential players. We have the issue of breaking rules on the part of the schools and the coaches. And again, the federal issues, I'm still not 100% clear why there's a crime in all of this. What's illegal about all of this?
Well, the federal investigation started with the FBI investigating a financial planner, and they had some basically had some charges against the financial planner. The financial planner, or this investor, said in an effort to help himself that he had been involved or knew of things that were going on as far as bribery and fraud in connection with college basketball. That's how the FBI investigation led into college basketball and with these coaches and so forth. And it's a different deal. The NCAA is basically a club of member schools of universities. They do not have subpoena power. They can't wiretap. They can't make a coach wear a wire. They can't threaten to send a coach to jail if a coach doesn't cooperate with them. The FBI, of course, can do all those things. So that's why it's a much more serious matter. As Matt said, I'm not so sure that the FBI wants to clean up college basketball, but they do see this as something that where they feel like crimes are committed and something that they it's I wouldn't say it's low hanging fruit necessarily, but they have the information, so they're going to pursue it. And that, you know, the thing where which got Louisville involved, really the criminal complaint had two factors. One factor was these coaches who had taken money to steer these players to the financial advisor. That was one part of it. The other part was the apparel companies, as Matt's mentioned, and Adidas is mentioned throughout the complaint, and they giving money to the families, allegedly to Brian Bowen's family at Louisville for him to go to Louisville. What ensnared the Louisville coaches on a couple occasions is, although he was not named in the criminal complaint, the infamous Coach 2, that was Rick Pitino, who, while this was going on, was talking with Adidas. And as Matt sort of said, the circumstantial evidence of whether Rick was talking to them about the Brian Bowen situation. Then there was another instance in Las Vegas where they have a wiretap, and I think they also have video of a Louisville coach listening to an Adidas representative who is telling him about payments they want to make to another Louisville recruit to get this player to go to Louisville because Louisville is an Adidas school. That's basically what the criminal complaint, the two kind of separate sides of the same criminal complaint.
When we say Louisville is an Adidas school, I mean, is it branded that their name is all over the place?
Right. So. They get Adidas pays them a certain amount of money and supplies them, the University of Louisville, with their athletic equipment, uniforms, that sort of thing. Kentucky has a similar deal with Nike. Most major colleges have deals, whether with Adidas, Nike, Under Armour. Some of them have them with Russell Athletic. Georgia Tech football coach Paul Johnson, he made the comment when all this broke. He said, this is one of the few times I was glad that we are a Russell Athletic school because their name hasn't been mentioned in
more,
this.
More low-profile.
Yes, it hasn't been mentioned in this scandal.
Joe Sanka, what do you know about the lawsuit? I just heard this week that Coach Pitino was suing Adidas.
Yeah, Rick Pitino was suing Adidas, saying that they've breached a contract with him. And there's a strong possibility that since he was fired Monday, that his attorneys are also going to sue the University of Louisville for firing him, saying that they did not follow the the terms of the contract and the proper procedure. And that's also a possibility with the UofL athletics director, Tom Jurich, who was fired just yesterday. They both have very powerful attorneys and firms behind them, so there could be a lot of lawsuits flying here in the near future.
They have contracts, I guess. So they're
yes.
saying that their contracts have been breached by the firing. What's the issue with the company? What's the Patino's issue with Adidas? Weren't they slipping him some money somewhere along the way?
Well, Patino and Jurich made a lot of, even though the Adidas contract was with the university, Patino and Jurich made a large portion of that money from that contract. So they stood to benefit a great deal by the contract as well. So Patino, with Adidas dropping Patino, he lost out on a great deal of money. So that's the case with the apparel company. And also he had about $44 million left on his contract with the University of Louisville, which certainly would be a huge part about any lawsuit that he filed against UofL.
So what was Patino's annual salary? What was he being paid to coach basketball?
Oh, I'm not sure the exact figure, but I'm assuming that's somewhere between $5 million and $10 million, which is on the high end of basketball coaches in NCAA. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the highest paid public employees technically in the state, along with John Calipari.
So is this one of the issues? I'm not a sports guy myself necessarily, but we're talking about college athletics. We're talking about, again, as I like to describe it, an extracurricular activity for people who are in school. They're studying to get a degree. And we have people like the coaches making millions of dollars a year, and the athletes are amateurs, and they're not allowed to take
right.
a $25 gift card in exchange
right.
for what they do.
Right, and there are lots of ridiculous examples of players getting one meal and being part of an investigation and sanctioned in some way, which is actually interesting that this is all happening in Kentucky, because Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin actually did an interview recently where he said that this entire system is ridiculous, that these players should be paid since they're bringing in so many billions of dollars in revenue, and the only thing they're getting is a scholarship. So we should kind of end the ruse that this is some pure amateur athletics student athlete situation, and just pay them for what the service that they're providing.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about how that might happen. I did talk a little bit with Matt Jones about that of Kentucky Sports Radio and Hey Kentucky. I want to get back to him for a couple of minutes. We also want to encourage our listeners to get on board. I know we have a caller waiting on the line. We're going to get to you when we can. We hope you can stay with us, be patient with us. We'd like to get you into the conversation. If you'd like to get on board, 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at wekuest. Again, Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio and Hey Kentucky. I spoke with him actually yesterday morning because he's unavailable during our live program on Thursday. Spoke with him on Wednesday, and I asked him if he sees other coaches, other schools, other teams going to be involved in a similar situation as the University of Louisville. Do you anticipate a significant number of additional coaches in college basketball, assistants, head coaches, being brought down with similar allegations as a result of these investigations?
Eventually. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's almost certainly more of this. I mean, clearly the government cares about this. Now, I could make a pretty strong argument to you that I don't understand why they care about this with so many other things going on in the world. But for whatever reason, they clearly do. And so I can't imagine this is it. I do think we probably are into the next year, maybe the cleanest period college basketball has ever had. Because I will tell you this, none of these coaches, when they were cheating, would have ever imagined they could go to federal prison. They probably imagined that they were violating NCAA rules, but I don't think any of them ever thought that a FBI investigation, I mean, it had to come as a huge shock, because they, like me, probably had no idea this was a federal crime. So I think college basketball is going to be clean for the next little bit, because coaches are not in the business of wanting to risk prison for basketball.
Am I correct that the FBI is also investigating the Nike company and that there's a relationship in place between Nike and the University of Kentucky?
Well, that's been alleged but not certain. The FBI, what is called the EYBL, which is the youth part of Nike basketball where they sort of where high school people play, and they raided it, but the FBI has not said those folks are under investigation, so it's not clear what that means. But yes, Kentucky is it does have a relationship with Nike. So do 75% of the schools in America. So if Nike becomes part of it, I do think it becomes a much wider net. But as of yet, that's more kind of guessing that they're involved than any sort of official thing.
I'm sure this is a naive question, but why are these big money sports programs important to any of the schools, to Louisville, to UK, to many of the top tens, and so other schools?
Well, I actually don't think that's a naive question. I mean, they are important because people in places like Kentucky think they're and say they're important. You know, they matter to people. These games matter, and that goes into culture and a lot of other stuff. And then there's an economic reason, which is these universities and programs generate an unbelievable amount of revenue. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, at the same time, though, if they all just went away, you know, these universities would be fine. And there are a lot of people who would argue that they've gotten away from what universities should be about. And I don't think they're necessarily wrong about that. But the reason they matter is honestly because people think they matter and because they love and care about these programs.
Your personal opinion, Matt Jones, what should be done? You say college basketball is likely to be clean for the next couple of years. Ultimately, what should be done to clean up this mess and make sure that the rules are being followed as well as federal law?
Ultimately, these players need to be paid. I mean, this is at the heart of all this is the fact that these programs and these coaches make millions of dollars, and the labor, the players, make nothing. That's ultimately the issue. And as long as that discrepancy is going to be out there, there's going to be a huge incentive for coaches, programs to go and get players, and inevitably that's going to lead to actions where money's involved. But these kids deserve money. These kids are making millions upon millions. I mean, Rick Pitino and John Calipari make $7 million a year. Hmm. How in the world do you justify paying those men $7 million and paying the players that are actually making the baskets nothing? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I think what will end up happening is in the next few years, the NCAA will allow players to own their likeness. What that means is they can sign endorsement deals and they can make money on their name, and they'll do that instead of paying the players. The problem with paying the players is you turn them into employees and then all those laws come into place and schools don't want to do that. So I think you'll see kids, players being able to own their own image, which they should be able to. They will make money like that, and that's how college basketball and football will sort of survive the fact that basically there are programs that exist solely to make money, and the people who do the playing don't get it.
And how do you respond to those who say, you know, these schools, these colleges, these universities exist for a totally different purpose, to educate people, to prepare them for life, to give them skills that they need to function in our world? And athletics were supposed to be extracurricular activities at one point.
Well, you're right. I mean, all that's true. But then all of a sudden, you know, not to sound like Mr. Free Market Capitalist, but all of a sudden people realized there was money to be made. And, you know, I don't know what an example would be. The USC marching band, or I'm sure some school has a good orchestra. You know, I'm convinced that if schools believed that the school orchestra could draw 15,000 people, they would make the orchestra available to draw 15,000 people and charge. I mean, that's why they've grown. But is it the core mission of a university? No, I mean, it's not. But it is what has happened. And I don't think there's any going back from that. I mean, all you got to do is on a Saturday, turn on the television, and there are literally tens of millions of people in this country attending a college football game somewhere. And the idea that that's just going to stop, I think, is unlikely at best.
That's Matt Jones. He's with the Kentucky Sports Radio. And, of course, Hey Kentucky on local TV. It's at the Lex 18, I believe, in the Lexington area. Also with us are John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader and Joe Sanka of Insider Louisville. Let me get quickly to a caller on the line. I believe this is Philip from Michigan who's dialed in because he's been driving through the area in his truck. Philip, thank you so much for being on the line and for hanging in there with us. We've got a couple of minutes to chat with you. Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I appreciate the call. First, I'd like to say this is like a layer of an onion. And I think we found that out with the Harvey Weinstein thing, the Joe Paterno. You know, this should be about education, and it's about money. And, you know, there's no heroes in America anymore. There's corruption goes from Washington all the way to Louisville. And if you started digging, you'd find it, and it's rampant all across America. And for the young kids coming in, they all think they're either going to be a rock star or an athlete. And for those that don't get an education in college, that's what they're there for. They should be educated. I don't think they should be paid. I think that, you know, an endorsement should come when they're a pro football player. But that's just my opinion. And in Michigan, it's a University of Michigan, the coach there gets $12 million a year. It's a huge moneymaker for the U of M. And I don't support it. I'm not a sports fan. I'm appalled by poor losers. And it's crazy that how much emphasis we put into Saturdays and Sundays in this country. I mean, it's everybody's choice what they turn on the television, but to me, it's just all about the bottom line, and that's money.
Okay, Philip, thank you. We really need to move on. We're really grateful to hear from you, and I do want to put out the call to sports fans, interested in sports fans and your opinion about this. What does this mean to you? What does all of this bring about for you, and how do you feel about all this? Are you a fan of college sports? You follow the professional sports, the NBA, and, of course, Major League Baseball and NFL and so forth. What does this do about your status as a fan of sports? 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. We'll be back with more from Matt Jones, also from John Clay and Joe Sanka, who are here in the studio live. That phone number, 800-621-8890. Our show is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. We're talking about the scandal in college sports, what's going on in Louisville and at other schools across the country. And we are here with John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader, sports columnist for the paper. Joe Sanka from Louisville, the Insider Louisville. Is that an online publication or you also print
out? Yes, online.
Okay, no hard copies of that paper, of that publication. We also have Matt Jones, and we spoke to earlier in the week, and we're going to hear a little bit more from him as we wrap up the program in a little while. But we're interested in your feedback on this topic of college sports and potential corruption and investigations by the FBI. 800-621-8890. Write to us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Joe Sanka, John Clay, first of all, let's react to what our caller just happened to say. He's very disappointed in what's happened to our schools and the universities, and that sports has become such a major factor.
Well, yeah. I mean, really, right now, when we talk about college sports, they're not really college sports anymore. They're professional sports at the college level. I think the colleges see them in two ways, that they make revenue for the university if you have a successful program. There's a lot of college programs out there that don't make money because of expenses and facilities and that sort of thing. But for a lot of them do make money. And then the other part is that it promotes the school. It gets the school's name out because, as Matt said, there's so much interest in it. Really, the big kind of the other big factor in this thing has been television, with ESPN and other TV networks paying such huge fees for rights to the NCAA and to conferences to do their games. That's produced a ton of money, especially on the football side, for these athletic departments in these universities. That's one reason why you see these coaches with their huge contracts like Rick Pitino and John Calipari had. So it's really when you get down to it, it's not really college sports. It's professional sports and television, and the television money has really been the thing that's really made it explode on the financial side.
Joe Sonka?
Yeah, and I think the issue that the caller brings up, I think the NCAA really kind of has two directions it can go in. It could just allow talented high school athletes to go directly to the pros and start making the millions of dollars that they would be paid to play, or they could go the direction of paying them at the college level, whether that be by clothing, a shoe company that wants to sponsor them, or whether that's going to be some kind of revenue from that the university is able to generate from ticket sales and from apparel contracts and TV contracts. But the way it is right now, where you have players able to come in for 1 year and then go pro, it kind of breeds corruption because there's a huge financial interest in order to lure those players to your program for 1 year, and those shoe companies are looking at those same players and trying to lock them into a contract once they're able to go pro.
How does that happen? How can these pro high school athletes, for instance, be forbidden, or how can the teams be forbidden from drafting or taking students right out of high school into their programs? Is there some legal situation, something set up that keeps them from going in?
Well, in basketball, the NBA has a rule that they cannot. A player cannot enter the NBA, cannot be drafted or enter the NBA until he has had 1 year of college, 1 year out of high school, or he's 19 years old.
Really?
So, yeah, that's the one.
Is that
that's the one and done rule. Football's
is that the same
3 years.
For MLB and NFL?
Football's 3 years.
Wow, okay.
You cannot be, you have 3 years in college. Not 3 years of playing, you have to be in college for 3 years. If you redshirted as a freshman and didn't play as a freshman, you could still go after your sophomore year, which would be technically your third year. Baseball's rule is different from the standpoint that when a high school baseball player comes out or is finishing his high school, graduates from high school, he is then eligible for the MLB, for the Major League Baseball draft. But he doesn't have to be, even if he is drafted. I'll give you an example. Austin Kearns a few years ago in Lexington was a great baseball player at Lafayette High School. He committed to the University of Florida. He was a first-round draft pick of the Cincinnati Reds. Then he was able to negotiate. He was not able to hire an agent. If he hired an agent, that would break an NCAA rule. But he could negotiate with Cincinnati, and if Cincinnati didn't offer him the money that he thought he was worth, or if he didn't want to do that, he could go then to the University of Florida. He ended up signing with Cincinnati. A similar thing happened and went on and played in the pros, did not go to college. Similar thing happened with a pitcher, Jeremy Sowers, out of Louisville. He was also drafted by the Reds. He had committed to Vanderbilt. He decided that he would go to Vanderbilt, and he played at Vanderbilt. If you go to college with baseball, you have to stay for 3 years. After 3 years, you're eligible to be drafted again, but you don't have to go. If you don't like where you're drafted, if you want to stay in college for your senior year, you have the option of doing that. Then if you don't sign within that year, you're put back into the draft. That's the rule that I think a lot of people think that basketball should have. But I think basketball has had so much where they've had the power over the players, over the high school athletes, they don't want to go to that sort of system that baseball has. But that it's a rule. It's not just that that the colleges are not letting them go to the NBA. The NBA is not letting them go, and it's worked out well for the NBA.
Boy, I learned something there. That is not something that I had known before. Let's go back to the phone and talk to Charles from Lexington, if he's been patient with us and stayed on the line. Are you there, Charles?
Yes, all thanks right. for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go right ahead.
So just to throw out a few arguments and observations and perhaps a rebuttal or two to a few of Matt Jones's statements in no specific order, is that, one, I believe that at least when looking at basketball, a lot of athletes, their initial intention whenever they apply for university is not necessarily to get a degree, but to use it as a stepping stone to reach professional level. I think a lot of people can agree with that. So that's one observation and one thing to keep in mind at all times when talking about potential solutions to this problem. Another one is that I think Matt Jones had said something about basketball comes from or maybe increased interest in sport has come from money. And I have to somewhat disagree. I don't think it's as cynical as that. You know, if you were to use maybe an analogy like the Olympics, I think increased interest and the prevalence of the sports now is more a demonstration of physical ability. And within university, perhaps this is manifested in the form of people originally attended the university for academia, but they also have outside interests. And so from there, you have what is today the practice of college sports.
Charles, let me ask your opinion on this. You talk about these athletes come to school with the intention, really, of playing sports, not necessarily getting the education, which is the reason these institutions have been built. Do you think that harms the colleges? Does that harm the education that they're providing? Does that affect other students who they're not getting the education they should be getting because people who are really here to become athletes are using up resources that they should be getting?
Well, for the last part of your statement, absolutely, yes. To speak in specifics, but to still be somewhat general, as to not maybe perhaps be interpreted as speaking negatively about anybody, I myself at one point was a tutor to NCAA basketball players, and I can say from personal experience and observation of how they treat their academic side of their university career, it's always on the back burner, and it's perhaps not always so intentional, because a big part of it is that they're always traveling. With the football players, they have two-a-days, and so they're just exhausted mentally and physically, and so it's a little more difficult for them to focus on their grades and on studying, you know, being assertive about it. So from that aspect, yeah, sure, if you're to take the perspective of this institution is solely serving the purpose of academia and getting the highest graduation rate, well then, yeah, it's taking away resources from other people who are perhaps more eager and more readily available to receive those extra resources, as opposed to athletes who really their primary, just out of the demands of the sport, even just practicing, they're not able to utilize those resources as efficiently and effectively. So, yeah, absolutely.
Charles, thank you so much. We do need to move on. We really appreciate your call. Charles calling in from Lexington for this week's show. Let me quickly get to Judy from Versailles, who she's not on line three. Are you there, Judy? Sorry for the confusion. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I just had a couple of thoughts. I am a sports fan. I love college sports in particular. I am a UK fan, but that does not mean that I am anti-U of L. The only time I'm not cheering for U of L is when they're playing UK. So I encourage all of our college athletes from both of those great institutions. But the thing that bothers me about, one thing that bothers me, I brought up the whole rivalry thing on poor purpose. And, the stuff that's going on with U of L right now bothers me, because if that rivalry goes away, Kentucky fans aren't thinking about what that would do to our the college sports in our state. If that rivalry of UK and U of L goes away, you know, people are hoping terrible things.
Judy.
And I'm not one of them.
Okay. Your phone dropped out there for a second. Why don't you give me 15 seconds where we need to wrap up and get back to our guests here. Yeah, I think we may have lost Judy. Her phone is, she's in a bad zone. Let me get John Clay and Joe Sanka's reaction. And I do have an email I want to acknowledge. And we want to get back to a brief comment from Matt Jones to wrap up our show.
Well, about the rivalry, I mean, I don't think the rivalry is going away. I think it may dip a little bit, as was mentioned earlier. I think Louisville, especially in basketball, is going to go through a tough period.
Are there UK fans enjoying seeing Louisville having this problem?
Oh, yeah. Well, there are a lot of them. And, you know, Matt runs a site, Kentucky Sports Radio, which is basically a UK fan site. A lot of UK information. There's a lot of people on there that are reveling in Louisville. They're reveling in Rick Pitino going down because they don't like the fact that when Rick left Kentucky after going going to the pros, he ended up at Louisville, their arch rival. So that as well. But no, to her other point, I think there are a lot, and the caller's point before, I mean, I think that's exactly right as far as these athletes have basically playing a college sport at a major university, especially when you're talking about football and basketball and the major sports, it's a full-time job. The quarterback at UCLA, Josh Rosen, got in trouble recently because he said in an interview, really when you're playing college sports, you have two full-time jobs. Being an athlete is a full-time job with all demands, and going to school is a full-time job, and nobody can have two full-time jobs at the same time. But I think he was right, and I think that's the way it goes back to what I was saying earlier about being professional sports at the college level. There are so many demands between practice, watching film, traveling, going to games. It's tough for them to still have time and for their academics. And it's only the ones who are really committed to their academics, and they have to be very dedicated and committed, who do well academically and also play a major sport.
Joe?
Yeah, and a previous caller mentioned that It's not just the scholarship the athletes are getting, but they're getting a stepping stone to the pros. And some people make the argument if you go to a school like U of L or UK, you get the best coaches in the world to instruct you for a year. You're getting on primetime television all the time. You're on ESPN all the time, so your name is out there. So in a way, it's not just a scholarship. You are getting some of the best training in the country during that year, so you're ready for the pros, and then you can start making millions of dollars. So, and Rick Pitino is really, or John Calipari is really taking advantage of that one-and-done system more than any others, and some say that he's the most honest about it, is that because his players are going to make many millions of dollars within a year or two, whereas in some programs, a player is exploited financially, and then they don't have those millions of dollars waiting for them once they graduate.
Ed from Versailles wrote to us by email. He says, where are all the folks that espouse family values? It is interesting that morals and ethics quickly go out the window if the coach can win games. The U of L program and many others have been a moral morass for a long time. Ed, thank you for that email. Let's get one final comment from Matt Jones. We recorded an interview with him earlier this week. I asked him his opinion of what is next in the development of this ongoing story related to the scandal in college sports.
I think the next step is we're going to find out if any other schools are involved. And you mentioned Nike, if Nike's involved. And I think you may see some more arrests or schools involved. Long term, I think we're going to find out if the government's case, if their legal theory is sound. I'm not sure if it is, but we'll find out. And then we'll determine, do we have this new area of federal law, which we didn't know about? I think the bigger issue is 5 years down the road, 3 to 5 years. Do they change college athletics to finally rid the notion of amateurism? I mean, the NBA, the National Basketball Association director, Adam Silver, came out this week and said this scandal had in some way changed his mind about allowing players to go directly from high school to the NBA, that he now thinks it's kind of silly to go to college if they're paying these guys, et cetera. I don't know if that was just a reaction emotional to what just happened, but I do think there's going to come a system. The model as it exists now, I just don't think it's sustainable for all that much longer. So I always think there's going to be college athletics, but I do think it's going to look a lot different, you know, if we have this conversation a decade from now.
Matt Jones, host of Kentucky Sports Radio and of Hey Kentucky on TV, thank you so much for being with us on Eastern Standard.
Glad to do it. Thank you.
Joe Sonka and John Clay are still here with us. So what is the answer? Is the answer potentially paying college athletes? And why would we even bother to do that? Why not just let the athletes go into the professional leagues?
Well, not all of them can go into the professional leagues. I mean, they're just a small percentage that ended up playing in the NBA or the NFL or even in Major League Baseball. But yeah, I do. I don't always agree with Matt, but I will agree with him. I do think the amateur the way amateurism is done now is an outdated concept, especially with so much money. I compare it a little bit to the Olympics, where the Olympics finally bit the bullet several years ago and went that they allowed athletes to be sponsored and to make money and still be able to compete in the Olympics. And really, the the popularity of the Olympics has not suffered all that much from that. There's probably more interest in the Olympics now than there's ever been, even though the athletes, it's not set up on the same pure amateurism like it once was. So I think there will always be college athletics, but I do think it is going to take a different form. I think this is a tipping point with the federal level. I don't really care about the law part of it, and the NCAA will get involved in it later, but I do think just exposing this, the what goes on, and I think it's a lot worse. This is the underbelly, as they said, of what goes on is probably even a lot worse than even I imagine. I've covered it for years. Exposing that, I think, in the long run, will be good for college athletics and will promote change.
Is this going to be an ongoing story?
Yes, definitely. This will definitely be an ongoing story.
Joe Zonka, final comments?
Well, I think the NCAA has been making a lot of money off of the system the way it is right now. And the fact that the FBI is now investigating all of these programs, I think that might give them the boost to finally realize that, hey, these players need some kind of compensation. And I think the easiest way to probably do that would just allow them to have sponsorship deals.
It does sound like this is going to be something we're going to be keeping an eye on from a variety of angles. We're very grateful to Joe Zonka for being part of this week's Eastern Standard. Joe, thanks for being with us on the line from Louisville this morning.
Thank you.
John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader, glad to meet you. Hopefully we'll get you back into the studio and we'll talk again.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
And we're grateful to Matt Jones for his time. We're trying to find a time to get him on the air live with us at some point when he's not already on the air live elsewhere. Eastern Standard is produced with the assistance of Zach Redding, Emily Hutchison, and Brian Burkhart. They're our associate producers. We had the special help from Noah Day, one of our former Eastern Standard producers, who I will disclose now works for Matt Jones and the Hey Kentucky program. So thanks, Noah, for helping to make this happen. Our technical director is Brian Bartlett. This program will be available as a podcast and for online listening later this afternoon at weku.fm. The show repeats on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. We're always interested in hearing from you with your questions, your comments, your reactions to the show, your suggestions about future topics. Write to us anytime, weku eastern standard@gmail.com. And we invite you to tune in for Eastern Standard again next Thursday morning and, of course, on Sunday evening at 6 on 88.9 WEKU. I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in.